live in the world of Vidkin, a world full of magic, wonder, and a tinge of horror. But to you, the world is all but your small town on the coast of Urnet, one of the main suppliers of minerals to the outer world. You yourself have never been outside of the city limits, but you remember your father, Laerl, grew up on the seas, fighting the eldritch horrors lurking in the depths of the Farrakh Ocean, all the way to stealing from villages in the Falaur region. You yourself have always had a taste for the salt water in the air, a pull to the seas, but all of that was lost to you at only 10 years old when your father left on a cargo ship and never returned. It's been 9 years since then, and his face still haunts your memories to this day. But you, Nick Kingsley, are not one to leave the world without a scar. That is why we find you today, at just 19 years old, getting ready for a fight that may change your life. We see through a small glass window as you slip on a shirt, your dad's necklace, and sword going on after that. Today was the day. You win the fight, the grand prize is yours. You lose? Well, let's just hope we don't come to that. And as we move into the building, will you please introduce your character?
Okay. You see a young man, probably not that tall, probably around 5'7". He's got some muscle, but not like a huge amount. He has kind of medium-length black hair tied up in a ponytail. His eyes are olive green, and he has tannish skin, probably from doing heavy work out in the sun often. And he is currently wearing kind of loose-fitting green pants and a black t-shirt, probably a tank top, actually. Not exactly in the nicest quality, probably has some rips and tears, maybe some stains. He has a necklace with an orange jewel on it that he got from his father and mother, and he has his father's sword at his side in a sheath. And he is kind of hyping himself up, you know, getting in stances, doing his work. He's got his fists up, getting ready for this fight. He's, you know, talking to himself like, okay, we got this. We're not going to lose. We got this. Okay. Take deep breaths. You know how it is. This isn't his first time in a fight.
This isn't his first rodeo, per se.
Yeah, not his first rodeo.
In fact, this is the grand finale fight in a tournament, which he's been participating in for around half a year now. Yeah.
Okay. So right now we're in the
side rooms,
basically.
No, you would be in your house, like just okay. Waking up, getting ready to leave the fight.
Okay, I'm gonna be looking in my mirror that's like probably has like some cracks in it, probably not a great mirror, and just like looking in there like, okay, today's the day. Take some deep breaths, and then I think I'm gonna walk down and get breakfast, I guess. Okay.
And as you open your door, your younger sister Marilyn smashes straight into you.
Oh my god, Marilyn, what? It's, why are you awake? Can I, like, tell how she's feeling right now?
She just looks incredibly embarrassed.
Are you okay? Did something happen? Is mom okay? Todd? Owen? Is everyone okay?
Yes. She sort of just looks over towards her door, which would be on the other side of the hallway that you see would be open. And there's just, like, books on the floor. She's, like, never been one to read.
Okay, can I see anything else, like, in her room that looks kind of amiss?
You would either have to get closer or roll perception.
I think I'll just get closer. I mean, this is my little sister. It wouldn't really be that much of an issue.
Fair. You would just, like, walk in, and there's just, like, another child room just sort of sitting there, reading casually. You would not know this.
Okay, I'm gonna turn back to Marilyn and just go, What is going? Who is this? Did you bring a friend over? And I'm gonna Nick is gonna start smiling because Marilyn has never really been the type to have friends ever.
Yeah.
So he's just he's excited for her. He's like,
Marilyn, just like,
oh, why don't you introduce me?
Sort of looks back into the room awkwardly, doesn't really know how to respond. And the person sitting there, just, like, wearing, like, clear wireframe glasses, sort of, like, brown hair, looks up, just an average, like, that you would know would go to her school. Just sort of looks up and says, oh, like, she wasn't even expecting you to be, kind of.
Marilyn, why don't you introduce me to your friend? This is so amazing. Mom is going to be so excited to hear you finally made one.
You are not telling Mom about that. Marilyn just, like, looks at you aggressively. Mom will not know that I had this person over. Please.
Why? I'm sure she'd be extremely happy for you that you're finally getting along with everyone at your school.
I mean,
it's only been, like, a year or so since we started going there. I mean...
I don't think Mom would be particularly happy with the reputation held around, she sort of just, like, tries to push past you into her room.
I'm gonna hold an arm out and say, wait, hold on, you know reputation has never been a big thing for Mom. I mean, hell, our dad was a pirate. You know we've gotten shit over the years for that. She's never cared. I'm sure it's fine.
She just sort of looks over at her friend and then back at you. She's just like, yeah, but Mom also never really been the type to like the sort of, how do I put this, smart, like, aggressively smart type.
Sure, it's fine, but I guess if you really don't want me to tell her, I won't. But I'm gonna put my hand on her shoulder and say, I'm proud of you. Happy you're finally getting along with people there.
Thank you. Sort of looks concerned, looks over to her friend, and then closes the door.
I'm gonna kind of sigh, shake my head, smile a bit, because, you know, I mean, we've only been able to start getting them to school recently with the money that Nick has earned from fighting. I mean, Nick barely went to school when he was younger, because there was never really enough money in the house to let him do that, but he's really glad that his siblings can.
Yes.
And I think he's gonna walk downstairs. Is his mom downstairs, or is no one else up yet?
He would know that his mom is most likely off to work already. Like the sun just crossing the horizon on the harbor.
Okay, cool. I'm gonna go downstairs, make myself a toast, probably. I mean, we probably wouldn't have much else. Get myself a glass of water.
Toast. The breakfast of a fighter.
Yeah, breakfast of a fighter. You know, this is what gets me through the day. This is what gets me through all those fights. Okay. And then I'm gonna head out the door and start walking to the tournament.
That would go fairly easily. You would, however, run into a crowd walking towards sort of the stadium-like area. You would kind of have to push through them to get to the fighter's entrance. It's quite a lot of hype in this town around this tournament.
Is there usually this much hype? I feel like maybe there wouldn't be. I don't know.
For this specific tournament, you would know that there's never really been this much hype, but there is today and the past few fights. It's almost like people have grown an interest into it with the sort of boring, lackluster times that have come across the town.
Okay, I'm gonna push through, kind of saying to myself, I'm never gonna get used to the amount of interest that these people have been having recently. Usually don't have to push through this much people, at least. Kind of push by, being like, oh, sorry, oh god, I didn't mean to step on your foot. Oh my goodness, sorry, do you need help carrying anything? And then I guess I'm gonna make my way to the door.
This is so polite for no reason. There's just a couple people, a couple kids that just kind of stare at you as you're walking by, just like in awe, just like, Mama, look. It's the guy. Nobody really knows your name. You're just the guy.
I guess I'll just kind of wave awkwardly. Never really used to getting, like, any recognition. This has mostly been a underground thing for a while.
Yeah. You would recognize a couple people in the crowd. One of them being someone that you wouldn't really expect to be there. It would be your youngest brother, Owen. Sort of trying to creep through the crowd, pushing towards the entrance. You lose him in the crowd, though, unless you want to pursue it further.
Is it just him by himself?
It would be him with a couple friends that you know of his, and one of their parents.
In that case, I think I'll just let him be. I mean, it's not like watching the fights is it particularly dangerous or anything, and if he's with his friends, I think Nick wouldn't be that worried. Okay, I'm gonna make my way, stepping on people's toes, bumping into people, probably accidentally bumping into someone, like, holding their groceries. They go everywhere. It's really sad. I'm scaring children. It's horrible. I'm horrible. Anyway, so I make my way to the stadium. Yeah,
you make your way to the sort of side entrance to use for the fighters, which is usually not as crowded and doesn't take as long to get in. It's about, like, 2-ish hours to when the fight was supposed to be scheduled, and you would know that you probably have a few people to talk to, a few things to do before you're able to get into the ring for the fight. You sort of push your way in. It's the same atmosphere as it is usually, just like cramped hallways. There's like moist stone walls sort of pressing against you and other people as they walk through. You could hear from the stadium even just before, like, the small band that usually performs before fights getting ready, tuning their instruments, everything, and you would push into your sort of locker room. And you would see one of your friends, and also your opponent in this fight, you would see Ebony Warlan.
Awesome.
Yes. As you sort of push through the door, you just sort of see her in there. She's wearing, like, the headband she always wears. There's, like, the hood leaning down to her, like, charcoal shirt. Pretty, like, normal attire for her. The only thing you would see that's different is sort of two metallic, like, cuffs sort of wrapping around her wrists with little sapphires embedded in the ends.
Ebony! Oh, you're here early.
I mean, you know me. I'm always early to the fight.
I guess so. Are those bracelets new? They look nice.
Yeah, I made them the other day. I just haven't worn them in a while.
Oh, that's nice. Are you getting ready? I mean, I kind of, like, bounce around on my feet a bit, take a stance. I mean, I still have to stretch and everything, but do you want to get ready together? I know that we're going to be opponents going into the fight, but obviously, I mean, good-natured warm-up, of course. I mean, we're still friends and everything, so might as well get ready together.
I have a few other businesses to tend to. But I'll see you at the fight, yeah?
Yeah, okay. I mean, hey, they're on the shoulder. Good luck out there. I mean, obviously, I plan on winning, but hopefully you can bring something home as well.
She just sort of looks at you with, like, a knowing sort of gleam in her eyes, and she goes out.
Okay.
Would be...
Guess I'm gonna start doing some stretches.
Yes, stretches. Always important. I guess... I'm just gonna have you roll athletics to see how well you could get up in a way.
Cool. That is... Ooh, unnatural 20.
Unnatural 20. Nice.
Unnatural 20, let's go. Dude, I am so warmed up. Nick did his stretches so on point today.
Unnatural 20, you're feeling like... You're feeling loose. You're feeling ready for everything that could come at you. All right. You would look up and see a sort of, like, metallic copper clock, the hands running a little bit behind, like always. But you would see there's sort of still, like, 2-ish hours till the fight. So you could walk around, talk to people, do anything you wanted to do to get ready. And then sort of when there's 30 minutes left, you will get ready to actually go in the arena.
I guess Nick probably, I mean, he's a fairly sociable person. He's gonna go out and talk to the other people that are getting ready. He's gonna go out the door, just kind of peek around, see who else is doing things, I guess.
There would be a couple more novice fighters out there competing in a younger league. This is a lot more of, like, an organized event than it always has been. The past few years, you would see a couple people you know. One of them notably is your mentor, which is just sort of like an older man. He has a scar, like, on his left cheek from a past fight. He doesn't really seem to be doing much. He's sort of sitting on the sides watching everyone get ready.
I think I'm gonna go up and talk to him.
You just walk into this room, you see the guy, and you're gonna go walk up to him. Like, what do you say when you first see him?
I mean, what's his name?
I didn't think this far ahead. We're just gonna call him Rick. Because I think it's funny. Nick and Rick.
Hey, Rick. How you doing, old man?
Not that old. Just sort of looks at you. You guys have had this sort of relationship for a while where you can say things towards him and he won't really get that offended. He looks around. I've been good, though. I mean, a lot to do around here. There's a lot of people, a lot of things that I need to work out.
Yeah, no, it's been a weird few weeks with all of the new attention. I mean, not that I'm nervous with all the eyes on me. I'm completely not nervous, but, you know, I mean, all the younger fighters are probably really nervous. I mean, this is, like, what, not their first, probably their first year. I mean,
Yeah, he just sort of looks at you and is like, you seem a bit more nervous than you're trying to put off, Nick. Is there something else going on? Anything else on your mind lately?
No. No, I'm just, it's a lot of people. I mean, it's always been, I always draw a small crowd, just not really used to almost the whole town being here. It's,
I mean, hey.
Bit of pressure.
More people, more money in it, right?
Yeah, that's what I, that's what I've been telling myself. It's, you know, it's for the family, but,
You can...
Raises the stakes a bit.
Solidify your siblings, their school life a bit more then.
Yeah, yeah.
That is if you win. I mean, open second Todd. Place, still a pretty great prize. That's like, I think they're estimating,
oh, no,
like,
I plan on winning.
200-ish gold just for second place here. Like,
I plan on winning.
You plan on winning. Alright, well, good luck with that. I should probably get going.
Something you're not telling me, old man?
No, I just have a lot to do. No. I need to move on. I should go talk to some of the younger fighters. You brought up a good point there.
Yeah. Tell him, good luck from Nick, I guess.
Yeah, I got you. He sort of gets up, walks away, goes and talks to a couple people, and you're just sitting by the side by this bench now. Watching.
I'll take a moment to just kind of sit and observe, not really doing much. I mean, yeah, this is like, you know, he has a lot riding on this. He knows that it's, I mean, Nick would be thinking to himself, like, he knows that if he gets second place, he's still gonna get a lot of money, but he's never really been one to lose a fight. I mean, obviously, back when he was younger, less talented, he lost a lot of fights. Like, a lot of fights. I mean, that's how he got into this at first, was starting street fights with people who would pick on his siblings, on him. I mean, just, he would get beat up, like, a lot.
Yeah.
Probably has a few scars from that. But he, like, now that he's been in this business for a while, he's not ever really been one to lose. He's kind of well known for pretty much just being really stubborn, honestly. So, he's probably, it's probably a, you know, a lot of pressure on him. He's a bit nervous, not that he'd admit that to himself or anyone, really, but to take some deep breaths, kind of just watch the younger fighters.
I mean, you see a couple of them, like, roughing around, play fighting before the actual fights start. A couple of them go out as, like, the band starts to play, which is pretty underwhelming compared to, like, the noise and the sheer mass of the crowd that you can hear outside. But you can tell that it'll probably quiet down, get closer to the fights.
Yeah, okay. I think Nick is just going to take the rest of the time just kind of to himself, to watch everyone, to steal his nerves that he definitely is not experiencing.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Alright, so with this time, I'll sort of give you two options. You can focus and roll, kind of try to get his nerves down, which he's definitely having, despite him trying not to show.
Yeah.
You can roll for that. It'll be a fairly low DC, and I'll just give you advantage on the first attack roll. Or you can sort of walk around, talk to people, like, sort of help the other fighters around.
I think with him talking to both Ebony and Rick, I think he's just gonna take the time to steal his nerves that he, you know, won't admit to having, but definitely is experiencing a few of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, what do you want me to
that will
roll for
be,
that?
I think we'll just have you roll, like, probably medicine the closest to try to calm yourself down, even though it's not really that much related to medicine.
Zero to wisdom.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, that's an 8. Oh wait, do I have advantage on this, or was that just if I succeed on this? Do I?
If
I have
you succeed, you get advantage. I mean, there's gonna be no disadvantage for being nervous. It was just like, you know.
Okay. Well, Nick is nervous. I rolled an 8.
You would kind of like walk back into your locker room, sort of lock the doors, try to hype yourself up a bit more, and it just gets more stressful as you hear more people on the stands, smaller fights happen, stuff like that.
Oh,
you just like, you know that with every minute that clicks on the top on the clock, you're getting closer and closer to that fight that'll finally decide like your family's sort of spot for the next year and a half, maybe.
Oh boy, this is gonna... I got this. I never lose Nick, yeah. Oh god, that sounds good. I'll be fine. I mean, Ebony's a good fighter, but, I mean, she can't... She can't have improved that much since last time. I mean, oh god.
Yeah, you would know, like, the last time you fought was a couple months ago. Both of you have most likely improved a lot since then.
I mean, okay, so that's kind of what he's got going on right now, I guess.
So the time passes, he's just kind of sitting there, trying to hype himself up, I'm overthinking everything, really, and then Rick sort of pushes through the door, she's like, hey, champ, it's your time, it's time to go, gotta get up.
Get up, maybe do one more quick stretch, kind of just, I got this. Puff out his chest a bit, you know, make sure he's kind of putting on a bit of a show for everyone, and he's gonna walk out there.
Mm-hmm. You walk out, sort of, to this dirt arena, and the crowd's, like, cheering. Both of you are walking out at the same time, opposite sides of the arena. Like, standard procedure, you would know. There's the judges sitting up in their booth, the marshals sort of sitting there, getting everything ready. They ask you to hand over your weapons. They don't want anyone genuinely getting hurt here, of course.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I assume you don't want to fight against that. You're pretty stupid.
No, I hand over my sword. Yeah. Hand over my sword, hand over, like, the pocket knife that I probably keep on me.
Hand over the sword.
That's about all I
hand
have.
Hand over the knife, yeah. You would see Ebony doing the same on the other side of the arena, and the band's song comes... We'll close. It's sort of like nearing what we would think of as like 10, 11 a.m. But for there, it's more like kind of close to noon-ish. So we are going to, first of all, roll initiative and then move through everything else.
Oh, first initiative roll. Let's go.
First initiative roll. Oh god!
I got a 6! I rolled a 6! First initiative of the campaign, and I rolled a 6! Let's go!
Alright, I guess that advantage wouldn't really have helped anyway. So yeah, you both sort of set your stance as the judges...
I got my fist up, in the boxer position, kind of bouncing back and forth a bit, on guard, whatever.
So the judges would...
Like, Rick talk me.
The judges would start
just like Rick
to...
Rick talk me, come on.
They would start to sort of announce your names. Like, we have Nick Kingsley against Ebony Warlin for the finals. There's a total of 500 gold on the line here today for this fight. And then there's, like, room for a round of applause. And then everything would go silent. Used to... As the focus before the fight sets in, everything's like tunnel visions to focus on the next few minutes, seconds. You have no idea how long this could take. You and Ebony are fairly even match most of the time. And then they would hit the gong, and Ebony goes for the first move. She would just sort of try. I guess she would... I'm gonna roll an unarmed strike. She would just sort of try to, like, punch at your, like, lower ribcage area.
Uppercut.
Yeah. We got a 12 to hit.
Ooh, damn it, my AC is 12. That's gonna hit.
Alright, that's 12 damage. Oh, no. 2 damage, you're sort of dazed.
Okay, Jesus. Yeah, I was gonna say,
Yeah, 2 damage, you're sort of dazed. You step back a second, and then she looks at you and takes her movement action to sort of step back into the side, getting ready for you, who would be up next.
Okay, I'm gonna, stagger back a bit with the blow. I don't think it'd move me a lot. I'm going to kind of probably try to maneuver around to one of her sides where she's not blocking as much and go for a hook, kind of right towards, just right in her side, probably. Not going for the face because I don't do that foul play
Yeah,
stuff. Okay, that's gonna be unarmed
Yes.
strike. Ooh, that's a 19.
19 does hit Ebony's armor class. So that would be either 2 or 1 damage, right? 3.
Yeah.
So she would
So
sort of
three.
stagger back. She wasn't expecting that immediate of a confident move from you. She looks up and she just sort of whispers to herself, "Damn." Like she's clearly frazzled, I guess, on that move.
Yeah, I'm gonna jump back a bit using whatever I've left in my movement to kind of a bit of a space between us, but not enough that I leave like her range. I still want to be able to go in for
You
another hit.
guys would circle for a few seconds as she sort of tries to get her shit together, I guess, and she goes for another hit, sort of just a hook going for your side, the other side this time. So instead of the right, it's the left. And if it'll ever. 11 does not hit your AC, right?
Me. Oh wait, actually, I just realized that because I am not currently wearing armor, my AC is actually 11.
Oh, so that does hit. So she, like.
That does hit. That just barely hits
She.
me, yeah.
Almost slips as you step back, but she still is able to land the blow. And that would be 2 bludgeoning damage towards you. I would say
Ooh,
it's been a
boy.
pretty even fight. Both of you have been throwing blows at each other. It's difficult to tell
Yeah.
who could win. It's very early
Definitely
on.
looking
The
a
crowd is sort
bit
of
more beat up now.
cheering. Brad's cheering. The first, like, more intense activity they've had for the day.
Okay, I'm gonna. Ooh, I think I'm gonna go. I think I'm gonna try and kick her, like in the shins, kind of to get her off balance.
Okay. For a kick, I'll have you roll unarmed strike with disadvantage.
Okay.
So just whatever it is, take the lower roll.
Okay, first roll is 13.
Oh my god.
Oh, unnatural 21. Oh,
Unnatural
okay,
tw
that's a
Okay.
13 though.
13. So you definitely hit her. You, like, hit her shin. She sort of falls over. She doesn't take as much damage as you would expect her to. I'm gonna say, without even having to really see your roll, she would only take, like, 1 point of damage from that. She looks, like, sort of hurt. There's, like, blood kind of trickling from her elbows from where they hit the ground as she fell. But she springs up pretty easily. You've always known her to have good balance, sort of. So she springs
Yeah.
up and she looks at you as like you don't think that she was that hurt from that. Maybe a bit off balance, but besides that, she's fine. And she would sort of immediately just go back for 2 hits. First of them would
Boy.
be sort of a hook, just trying to like hit your shoulder to get you off balance. She would roll. That is a 5. That does not hit. So.
Okay, I just kind of, she goes for my shoulder, I just kind of go like
Yeah, you
this
just
out of the way.
dodge back.
Oh, come on, I thought you had better balance than that.
She just grumbles something unintelligible. Probably something that, if the judges could hear, they would not like. And then
Yeah,
she
that's just how
rolls an
it is.
11, so she kind of like spins back, and with that momentum, like lunges and sort of like shoves you instead of actually going for move, she just shoves you. So you wouldn't really take any damage, but you'd be disorientated, so you'd be a bit off the next turn.
I kind of stagger back, yeah. Just a bit off my balance, like, whoa. Oh my god.
You would see in her eyes sort of like a more intense state than you've ever seen from her. Almost as if there's something like clouding her vision in a way. You would have always known her eyes to be gray, but now they are a deep emerald green.
Yeah, I think that would set me off a bit. I mean, I don't know how much I can do in the middle of a fight, but I think I definitely be a bit off balance, not just from the getting pushed back, but kind of from noticing that difference. I guess, like, can I roll insight to, like, see if anything else is going on? Because I think I'd definitely be a bit confused. I mean, definitely trying to figure out, like, what the hell is going on here. Is this, like...
You could roll either perception or insight on this, I'll give you. But you will have no movement time for your next action, so it'll just be the attack, and you can't move after that. So you wouldn't be able to defend if she directly attacks back.
I mean, I'm not amazing at either of those. I'm actually, like, really bad at both of those, but I think I would. I think I'd try to figure out what's going on, just because, I mean, this is, like, really weird for me. Never been around a lot of things that, I guess magical in nature. I mean, I guess I can't really tell if this is magical in nature, but eye color changing like that, not really something I'm used to, and I guess we usually are better friends than this, I guess.
Yeah.
Would be what I'd say.
You know that you both usually, like, pull your punches around each other and sort of, like, act it up, but she's been particularly rough. And
yeah, I guess
I would say
rolling
insight versus perception, they will both give you something different, but they both will give you, like, the same idea. It just depends which one you're better at.
I mean, I'm pretty shit at both. I'll just do insight.
Insight. Alright.
Yeah, that's a 9.
That's a 9. I'd say pretty much all that I've said, you would notice, like, you would recognize, and it would sort of just, like, in this beat that you take to sort of catch your breath and look at her, it would sort of, like, set in your brain that there is definitely something wrong here, something interfering with her in some way. And as you're thinking that, she just goes straight for, like, a kick straight to your chest, which she's gonna roll, and... Alright, that already, I know that's gonna hit you. 16, that hits. So,
yeah,
you take 2 more bludgeoning damage as you kind of fall back, and it leaves you with, like, as you would think, you kind of get pushed farther back than you would think, like, humanly possible with this, but you are still able to recover fairly easily at this point.
Yeah, I'm gonna get up, cough a bit. God, I'm not the only one who's been training, but you doing all right? Never mind. I'm gonna get back into the stance.
She just, like, stares at you. She's just,
now,
like,
is not really the time.
You would know that there's no time to talk right now. She looks like she's just going straight at you again.
Okay, I think I'm gonna go... I think I'm gonna go for an uppercut. Just straight at her chest.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a 7.
That would not hit. And she's gonna take that opportunity to... She's gonna take that opportunity to sneak attack you as you're off of balance, so that will add 1d6 to whatever roll she gets here. Which I know might not be the conventional way sneak attack works, but it's a little homebrew thing I've been working on with this sort of vibe. And she would actually need that. That's a 14. So she would hit you pretty hard with the next attack, but that would be 2 more damage. But I would say that you actually gain 3 back. She just sort of, like, elbows you in your chest as you go by. Sort of just turns around, elbows you in your chest. And you would fall, like, hard against the ground. Like, your head knocks in there. You are dizzy. Everything is blurry. You do not know at all where she is getting, like, the strength that she has. But for some reason, you feel better and more energetic. And your eyes sort of, like, tunnel vision in more. And you can feel your heartbeat in your ears, your eyes, and your breaths. And you would sort of, without wanting your body to, you would jump up and just straight, like, try to punch her in the face. You would miss, she would dodge, but you gain sort of consciousness back, and you would also gain back 4 hit points.
Yay! That's really helpful.
So you would have this hit points, but you are feeling, like, off. Everything is sort of fuzzy and really tunnel vision for you right now. And you have no idea why.
God, what was that? Isn't that toast?
Ugh. Yeah, it's the toast, for sure. There was mold in the toast.
Yeah, it's the toast. The toast had mold in it. There was black mold in the toast, actually,
black
guys.
Mold. Yeah, that was actually cancerous toast. Like, you're gonna die in 7 months now.
Well, guys, that you know how long this campaign is gonna go on. It's gonna be 7 months, and then whatever plot point we're at, Nick is going to drop dead of cancer.
Okay, no. I mean, if Nick would genuinely think it's the toast, then yeah. But besides that, this is not something he would normally feel in a fight.
I mean, like, I don't know what he'd be thinking. He's not the smartest. He's not gonna, I don't know if his brain's gonna be able to make the connection between what's going on with her and what's possibly going on with him. I think he's probably just gonna think he ate something weird. You know, he ate something weird, got the air knocked out of him.
Yeah.
Well, he's gotta get back up. He's gotta continue putting on a show. He's gotta win this tournament. So he's gonna get up and kinda, how far away is she right now?
She would have moved back after your attempt on, like, hitting her. She's, like, maybe 20 feet away, so within distance that you could use your movement to get up and hit her, but you would not be able to walk, like, get away from it, from her range after that.
Okay, I'm just gonna run and punch. I mean, that's what he knows how to do. Okay, let's see. Oh, that's an 8.
An 8, so you would sort of misjudge where she is with your, like, fuzzy vision, and you would swing at her and just kind of be surprised when your hand doesn't collide at all. And instead, it's just sort of like your vision just has, like, it's black, there's, like, stars, it's sort of fading in and out, and then you just, like, come to as she just, like, directly hits you in the face, like, just straight up on the cheek. Bam. You would know this is not a move that she would ever go for. And that is a natural 20 to hit.
Yeah, that hits.
Yeah. So
there's not a world where that doesn't.
Her hand just straight up come into your face, and then you are just out. The crowd, everything is just gone. It is quiet. It is black. It is like a void. You feel uncontrollably cold, colder than you've ever felt before. And you would just sort of, like, hear this low drone, and you, looking around, there is sort of nothing.
Can I move?
If you want to try, I'll have you roll a dexterity saving throw.
Yeah, I'm gonna try. Let me... Oh god, give me a second. Yeah, let's see how well this goes. That is a 12.
You sort of try to move, try to get up, and you move a little, but then, like, a raven bigger than you've really ever seen before, just sort of lands on your chest, just looking at you. Just the only thing that you can visibly see, even though everything is black and the raven is, like, jet black, you can still see it perfectly, clearly.
Can I like speak, or is there like something stopping me? Maybe the raven on my chest or
You
something.
can speak, you just can't move.
What the hell? Where the fuck am I? Fucking giant bird. Is this like.
The
God.
raven just sort of
Fuck was going on?
pops its head and stares at you.
God. Going on with Ebony? I mean, fuck. She's never gone for one of those before. I mean, always have never go for the face. Jeez.
Yeah.
The fuck
You would
am
just sort of
I?
like, as you grow more into consciousness, you would hear in the background sort of like a low past sort of like yelling and a bunch of other things, but you can't really decipher what they're saying. Like, you feel sort of like you're being rushed somewhere. There's like warmth returning to your body, and then the crow just sort of grows into this person, or what you think is a person. They have a long, like, inhumanly long cloak that just fades off into the darkness, almost as if it is the darkness. And you would see chainmail that is covered in just like red blood, and it's just dripping onto the darkness around your feet. And you would hear voice in your head, but the person's face is blank. There's nothing there. You would just hear, like, in a different language, almost like a chanting.
I mean, do I like recognize this figure from anything?
If you want to roll history, then maybe, but besides that, you would only vaguely recognize it, sort of like deja vu.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna go like, I don't know. What the fuck? Are you deaf? Am I fucking dead? Are you here to take me away to the fucking what?
Right, you. This time,
Did I live a good
very
life?
audibly to you, sort of just encompassing your head in this space, just sort of a short, quick no. And you know, like, deep in your bones, even just with that, you are not dead yet. You feel safe
Yet.
here for some reason. And then they continue to like the chanting in the background, but you would also hear just three words: "Rise again, Raven." And as they finish that last word, like, that raven just sort of imprints itself in your mind, and you feel like a burning on your wrist, sort of, as you fade back into reality. You are laying in an unknown bed. It smells of like weird herbs and different things, and you feel horrible. Like, everything hurts.
Fuck, what the fuck happened? Can I try to like look around the room?
Looking around the room, you see, like, your mom in a chair next to the bed you're on, just sort of asleep. Probably the most peaceful you've seen her in a while, but you can see, like, obvious tear stains on her cheeks. Her hands are, like, gripping a cloth tightly, which you would know as, like, one of your, like, favorite things to wear. It's sort of like a hat. Not really. You would also hear, sort of, in the corner of the room, like, bubbling water. So, there's, like, three choices that you could take in this room. You could either wake up your mom, try to get out of bed and leave the room, or, like, just stay quiet. And
I mean, I think it would take a kind of a minute for him to take everything in. I mean, he's really fucking out of it. Just had a weird-ass dream about a fucking blood raven woman and, like, chanting and shit. I mean, like, he's confused. I think he, for now, is probably gonna think, oh, that was a weird-ass dream to have. And I think he's gonna go to wake up his mom. Probably not getting out of bed, because that hurts a lot. So he's gonna go, Mom? What the fuck happened?
That's an accurate response. What the fuck happened? Yeah, so do you, like, move, like, make your mom awake or something?
I think for now he's just gonna stay in bed, because I'd assume moving hurts a lot. Yeah, it would.
And as he sort of thinks about that, he would notice that a lot of his pain is sort of radiating down towards, like, his arm. Like, his left arm, specifically. And as you would look down, you would see this blood-red tattoo that was definitely not there before, of just a raven. A raven sitting there, and in its, like, talons is just a scroll. And the most you can get out of this is, what the fuck? Because honestly, that's pretty much all you can think at this point. The last thing you saw was this creature, your friend, going absolutely mental. And now you are laying here in this bed in a place you don't know, and your mom is laying next to you asleep. You have no idea what is going
on. What the... Was that... Is that not a dream? Did some fucking raven lady tattoo me? What the fuck?
I got forcefully tattooed by a raven.
Yeah, unconsensual tattooing. This shit's crazy. It happens in every campaign at least once.
It does, actually. Anyway, yeah. As you whisper that, there would be sort of, like, this older woman sort of walk into the room, like, opening the door, shutting the door, not really looking at you at first, going and checking on, like, whatever's boiling in the corner, and then she turns and she sees you awake, and she's like, oh, she looks over at your mother and then sort of, like, quiets down. How are you feeling? Been a while. I'm surprised to see you awake.
Like, God, what is going on? I mean, I'm feeling, like, really bad. What happened?
Sort of not know how to answer that question. She looks at you, she looks at your mom, she looks at the door, and she just sort of, like, walks closer. Listen, I'm not... They told me not to tell you this, but you got hit pretty hard. And nobody really knows what happened. You were dead for a while. You were dead.
Nah, you're fucking... What the fuck do you mean? I'm obviously not dead.
Well, not anymore, but for a while there, you were dead. You were unresponsive. You had no pulse. You were not breathing. And then all of a sudden, you just came back.
What the fuck? I think, despite the pain, he's gonna kind of go up and, like, hold his head. Just kind of not knowing, like, how to respond to this.
You would notice that his hair is, like, noticeably longer. Like, 1 or 2 inches long.
Fuck, how much time passed? How long was I out? What the fuck happened?
It's been a while. And she would just sort of walk back over to the pot and, like,
dude, by the next session, I have to find new headphones, because I seriously can, like, I just keep missing things you're saying, because they keep cutting out.
Real. I need to find a space where my parents won't be walking in constantly. It's just gonna be a very odd cut. I'm just gonna be talking. Everything's different.
Yeah, no, like the moments where I just change location.
We don't worry about that.
Yeah, don't worry about it. We'll have it figured out by whoever's solo session is next.
For sure. But yeah, she would sort of walk over to that pot and take out, like, a sort of greenish liquid, pulling out, like, a couple leaves and herbs and other things out of it in a bag, and she just, like, sort of sets it on the table next to you. It's just like, whenever you're feeling ready, you can sit up and drink this. Hopefully it'll bring a bit of life back into you. I should go get some. And she just, like, rushes out of the room.
I think, is there, like, any sort of mirror or clear liquid in this room? I mean, I think if it's been so long, I think he's gonna want to take a look at himself, kind of see how long it's been. I mean, see how much of a fucking how much hair has grown on his face or whatever.
No, there would be a mirror on the other side of the room, but you'd have to get up.
I think he's gonna grab that liquid that she said would make him feel better. Just down it, one gulp. I mean, Nick is not the guy to ever want to be.
It feels like you're drinking acid, and you just, like, sit there and cough for a bit. But after the coughing fit, you are feeling just, like, considerably more energetic. You feel a lot better. The pain is sort of, like, fading a bit.
Okay, I'm gonna get up and go look at myself in the mirror.
Getting up takes a few seconds. Pretty wobbly. You're a bit dizzy, but you go and look over at the mirror, and you would see that you can only see out of one eye. The other is just sort of gray. It's just gray all the way through. It is just a pale gray, and the more you think about it, the more you notice that you are, in fact, now half blind. And there is scars just sort of all across your chest, more than before, from you don't really know what, because you didn't think the fight was that bad. And you would see your hair has grown, like, a considerable amount, like I said before, like 1 or 2 inches. It's been, like, a few months, if not longer.
What the fuck? No fucking way Ebony did this to me. What the fuck happened when I was out?
The crow woman tattooed you.
Oh, shit, I'm gonna have
to... She tattooed you.
The crow woman tattooed me and fucking gave me a glass eye. Wait, quick. Will this give me disadvantage on perception?
That's a good question. I'm gonna say no. You'll see.
Thank God.
I'm gonna say no for now.
Okay, got it. So, I mean, he's just... I think he'd stand there just staring at himself for a good while, probably. Maybe try and kind of make himself not as scraggly, I guess. I mean, his hair is probably all messed up from being in bed for so yeah. long, kind of. Run a few fingers through it, try to find wherever the hell his, like, hair tie went, because it's probably messed up somewhere in his hair now. Tie his hair into a ponytail, he'll probably figure that shit out later, just so he can get it out of his eyes so he can see better, and just kind of... I think he'll probably take off his shirt to look at the scars more, because, I mean, definitely not normal. I mean, he's probably thinking to himself, like, me and Ebony, we were just punching each other. What the fuck gave me these scars?
As you would take off your shirt, you would see sort of something you probably wouldn't have noticed if you didn't. It's like, as well as the raven tattoo on your wrist, there is now sort of like, I don't know how to put it, like, a scar running across, like, your stomach area that just, it feels, if you run your hand across it, like it wasn't made in a human way. Like, it was sort of put there by something magically. And the more you look, like, the more the rest of the scars feel, like, unreal, unhuman-ish.
He puts his shirt back on really quickly.
Yeah, that's right. Like, that's fair.
He doesn't want to think about this anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, what would he be wearing? Would he still be wearing the same
He'd
clothes?
He'd be wearing, like...
Or would he be something
just
else?
Sort of... Probably worn clothes that his mom brought. He was put into wherever this place is. So it's clothes that he owns, but it's not the fighting clothes he was in.
I think he's probably gonna put his shirt back on and then just kind of go sit back down on the bed, probably really dizzy, really confused, really out of it, just wondering what the fuck is going
yeah,
on.
I mean, that's entirely fair. He, as you sit down, sort of, the woman returns with another person who you don't recognize by their face, but when they speak, you remember the yelling from before, all the different noises. It sort of comes back to clarity. It was them trying to revive you, trying to keep you alive, and failing. Till you just, as they basically declared you dead, you just were alive again. And you would remember that clearly now, but you would remember being stuck there, sort of paralyzed in a body that was presumed dead. And she would, both of them would, like, sort of walk up to you, and she would just whisper, sort of, like, things you wouldn't know, like, almost in a different language. And you would assume, just from that, and by an accent that you just now noticed from the other woman, you are not in your hometown.
Okay. I think I'm just gonna kind of ask, hey, what happened? What? He's kind of at a loss for words with all of this coming back to him now.
They both
no
just kind of exchange a look, and the woman who you assume of lower authority walks out of the room, and the other sits next to you, sort of sighing. Listen, we don't know what happened. You you were fighting, it was normal. It looks like it's something that you have done before, from what I've been told and from the scars that I've seen on you while treating you. It's... we don't know what happened. You got hit, and later on, like, we talked to her, she didn't think she hit you that hard, but you were gone for a while. It's been months. You've been sitting here with a horrible fever. You've been unresponsive to the world, and now you are awake. I don't know how to proceed.
There's gotta be some fucking explanation. I mean, maybe it was fucking, I don't know, maybe it was, fuck, I don't know. I mean, you're a doctor, you gotta fucking figure this out, man.
Yeah, she, like, gets up. I deal with medicine. I deal with healing people. Whatever happened to you 3 months ago was not human. I have had no way to help you with any of this. You were put into my care around 2.5 months ago. You're from... fuck. I think you're from a few towns over. I don't know how to answer your questions.
God, 3 months ago. What the fuck? What the fuck? I think he's gonna... He puts his head in his hands and sits there, kind of mumbling to himself for a minute, just so confused. So, I mean, kind of having his whole world crash down around him. Like, what does she mean? Not human. What the fuck? What happened? How it's been 3 months.
Yeah. You would sort of feel as she walks out of the room, and she just says from the doorway, "I will let you process this, and I will be just down the hallway if you want to talk further." And you would just sort of stay in that room for a while. A few hours passed, honestly, and your mom is still asleep. You would not really know what to do. Like, this is probably the biggest thing that has ever happened in your life, besides what happened with your dad, which, the more you think about what happened with your dad, you can't remember his face, what he sounded like. You don't remember your dad anymore.
Oh, shit.
You can barely remember your family. You cannot remember your dad. You barely remember your siblings. And the clearest picture in your mind, the thing that you know, would be that raven.
I think he'd honestly probably just sit there until he fell back asleep. I mean, probably just thinking back through his whole life, trying to piece together what could have happened and why he can't remember these things anymore.
Yeah, that's fair. It's like, fall asleep after a while of thinking, and when you wake up, it's sort of, it's brighter in the room. There's sort of, your mom's awake, reading a book. You would see your youngest brother sort of, like, sitting next to her, reading over her shoulder as well. And it's pretty quiet. They look fairly peaceful, if not, like, worried, but peaceful.
I recognize them yes. to be my family, right?
You would recognize them to be your family, okay. You just can't
I
really...
I didn't forget that much.
If you try to picture the others in your mind, you can't really see them.
Okay. Yes, I just kind of blink awake and start to kind of sit up a bit.
Yeah. Your youngest brother, Owen, would sort of, like, hop up and, like, jump off of his chair and sort of just, like, grab your arm. And he's like, Nick, you're awake! And he's happy to see you. He's happy to see you awake and okay. And you could tell this is, like, been a lot on him. He sort of looks up to you a lot, and you being hurt like that sort of threw a curveball in his life in a way.
Okay. Just kind of look down at him, kind of at a loss for words, honestly.
That's fair.
Owen, hey buddy.
It's been I have so much to tell you. I met friends at school. It's been a while. I'm 10 now. He just like Owen doesn't really know what to say. And when you look over, your mom's just sort of like looking at both of you, sort of happy to see you back together, but also kind of wishing that she could talk to you alone. What you could sort of see on her face. But Owen looks very excited to be able to talk to basically like his idol again.
That sounds 10. That's great, Owen. I think he'd probably have a really sore throat.
He would.
He hasn't drank in anything in like 3 months.
Yeah.
All he drank yesterday was
pretty
acid.
Pretty much just acid.
Yeah, no, I think he tries to talk to Owen a bit and then he just kind of goes into a coughing fit immediately just because of how sore his throat is.
Yeah. Like, Owen just kind of looks over at your guys' mom as she, like, just says, Owen, can we have time alone? I think Nick needs quiet. And Owen sort of, like, sadly, but also knowingly walks out of the door, just leaving you two to talk. Shuts the door behind you. And it's quiet for a second. Just your mom waiting for you to start talking.
Mom, hey, it's been a little while, apparently.
Yeah, she looks up at you. I've been worried. I appreciate all you do for the family, and I know you did it for us, but I can't see you fight like that again. You can't.
Mom, it's fine. You don't have to acknowledge. I mean, you don't have to say that. I mean, I'm just doing what anyone would do if to support their family.
She sort of looks down at the hat that she's still sort of fidgeting with. Not everyone would get hurt that. You've done so much, but I can't have you getting hurt like that again.
I get it. I mean, hey, it'll probably take me a minute to get back into the swing of things anyways, but I mean, I still gotta fight. I mean, it's It's how I support you. I mean, I know you and Marilyn work with and do work with fabric, and but it's there's so many of us. I mean, this is how. I mean, they gotta go to school. They gotta. I know I wasn't able to, but they gotta go to school. I mean, how else?
Nick, I almost lost you. I am not letting you put your life in danger just to support us. You shouldn't have to do that. You are 19. You are barely an adult. You shouldn't have to put your life on the line just to support a family that I decided to have. She is just sort of, like, breaking down, and she stands up and just drops the hat on the bed.
It's not my life I'm putting on the line. I don't know what happened this time, but I've been doing this for years. It's how I make it so we can live. It's how Marilyn and Owen and it's how they're going to school. They need to have a better life than I had. Okay. I get it. Nothing like this is gonna happen again. I tried getting other jobs. You know what they think about Dad and our family. You know why I had to do this.
She just sort of stays quiet for a second, forming her words, and then, unable to think of any, she just walks out, and you would kind of feel a hurt in your chest, sort of. You know that your mom loves you a lot, and you know that she hates to see you hurt. And that the more you think about it, the more your emotions rise, and the more you start to notice a glowing coming from your hands, your arm, and your whole body glowing a faint red. And when you look back up at the door, you would see a raven sitting in the door. And that is where we'll end the first session.